to Alistair Eats Food, the podcast.
All right, all right, all right. This week on the podcast, my special guest is Chip Richard. Chip is the head chef down at Caps on the Water in St. Augustine. He's a great friend of mine. We struck up a friendship after the boys and I played a show with, I believe, Whitey Morgan a few years back. And yeah, been friends ever since. Chip and I decided to embark on a little adventure. We started out at Paladar for a Cuban coffee and brunch, and we make our way to Stay True Tattoo to get matching girlfriend tattoos. And then after that, we made our way over to Tacos My Blessing. So for the first part of this podcast, we are starting out at Paladar. Paladar is a Cuban eatery owned by two Cuban women, Nelly Santiago and Isela Gonzalez. It's an authentic casual bakery, coffee shop, restaurant, serving a variety of Cuban sandwiches and pastries and all sorts of goodies. So definitely go check Paladar out. It was a great experience. This is a mobile podcast, so until I work out the kinks, we are kind of going from location to location, and you'll notice at Paladar, we have the ocean breeze and a fountain and some Latin music playing in the background. At the tattoo shop, we've got the tattoo machines in the background, and you know, just all those kind of things, but we work our way through it. It's good conversation. It's my buddy Chip, and I was really glad to have him on. I'm hoping to have him as a recurring guest. So here's us at Paladar.
First time I had Cuban coffee was I worked for this chef that was, he was a chef in New Orleans, and he worked for Commander's Palace. He had asked me, he's like, you ever had Cuban coffee before? I said, no, not really. And I guess, you know, the process of, you know, when they make it is, you know, they take sugar, the raw sugar, they put a couple of drops of espresso in that, and they whip, it's called creaming the sugar.
Oh, okay. It's,
two chorizo empanadas, two ham croquettes, and the two guava pastelitos.
All right, cool.
Wow, that was quick.
And so they whip the sugar with just a little bit of the espresso in there to where it's like smooth, like a paste.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pour the rest of the espresso on over top. I'm sipping this thing, I'm just like, getting kind of itchy right now. Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's strong, man.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And then so you're putting the espresso and it's gonna knock it to the next level.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are we at here? What's this one?
So this is the ham croquette. Croqueta.
Ham croquette. Mm. Oh my god. Yeah, don't mind my fingernails. I've been playing all weekend, and
it's all good, man.
I can't cut my fingernails before I play all weekend.
Whenever I do any work on my truck and I come to work the next day, they're like, what the hell have you been doing? Like playing in the dirt?
See that where my fingernail breaks in the middle right there? This finger is like so fucked up compared to the rest of my fingers. But that's because I play with my fingers, I don't use a pick. So this finger just gets annihilated, man. But so I don't cut my fingernails before I have to play a series of shows. That was delicious. What is that again?
That was a ham croquetta. So that's basically like mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Some, I would say, minced ham, breaded and fried.
Mm. Good lord.
Let me go with the empanada next.
Empanada.
I said I've had these here before, and they were outstanding.
I'm still feel on the plate here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. That's all definitely happening in-house, for sure. I love the pepper in there.
And chorizo and cheese.
Mm. Good lord. So how did you find out about this place again?
So my friends who own Gas Full Service Restaurant, they had mentioned it to me. They were like, yeah, a lot of people don't know about it. It's like their little secret spot when they want to go and get like a brunch or something like that.
Mm.
Good coffee.
we're about to blast it on the band page.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, Chip, you motherfucker.
But like I said, whenever I mention it to people, they don't, you know, this place is still kind of like a hidden gem. I think the people that live on this side of town know about it. Oh, shit. You got red. Thanks, man.
Man.
St. Augustine Beach is kind of a weird spot, you know what I mean? Because it's almost like, you know, it's not St. Augustine, like downtown St. Augustine.
No.
You know, when you... Most people that are familiar with downtown St. Augustine, they probably don't go to a lot of places out here regularly.
Mm.
A little bit isolated.
I am in heaven right now. This is awesome. This little courtyard area.
Yeah.
When we pulled up, I didn't think this existed. I looked at the building. I thought it was just a...
Yeah. Little strip mall.
Yeah, it's just tucked in here perfect, man.
You know, the thing is with St. Augustine, too, is I guess this kind of also goes to Jacksonville. Right here.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wow. I'm glad I didn't chug all my... I usually drink, like, 2 pots of coffee before I walk out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah, I had my one cup.
Yeah, I just
took cheers, myself. Dog.
Cheers, buddy. Uh-huh. Thanks for joining
me. Yeah, man. My pleasure.
Or thanks for letting me join you. That is amazing right there. Oh my God. So when they whip that little thing at the end, is that a Cuban thing? That the how they always do, like, the baristas are always doing decorations on top of their coffee and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's where that all started, probably, was the, like, the Cuban coffee.
I would guess.
Oh, man. Keep my hair out of it with all this wind blowing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got out on, you know, maybe the last cold spell of the year. I love it though, man.
Yeah, I'm from Michigan, so
it's the thing for me, man.
And you're Philly, right? Or Pennsylvania anyway?
Yeah, you know, I lived in Pennsylvania until I was 12. I've been down here a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, like if you lived up north in that kind of weather, I feel like it's in your blood, you know.
Bob Dylan and Maynard from Tool, both at separate times in separate interviews, have compared the cold up in, like, the Midwest and stuff like that as an equalizer for all humankind. And when it's wintertime, everybody dresses the same. Everybody, you know, everybody's got to wear the same shit. You all kind of, it's an equalizer, you know? And it is. When you go home to where I'm from Michigan, it's like middle of nowhere. It's Saginaw County, but it's southwest Saginaw County. And, I mean, we're 35 miles away from any kind of, like, super center kind of Walmart situation, which we have Myers up there, of course, but where I'm from, everybody wears Carhartts. Everybody's always in sweatshirts and Carhartts and shit like that, and it's a whole different thing. There's not really any of this, I need Botox in my lips and shit to look cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the wind up there will swell them up enough.
Yeah, exactly. There's plenty of that already.
Mm. Oh, man.
So where are we at here? Pastries?
Yeah, this is a guava pastelito.
Guava pastelito. What got you into cooking?
Well...
When did you start cooking?
I would say 1997 or 98. I had got a job working at what is now PVO. But back in those days, it was called Eddie's, and this was before the Palm Valley Bridge was built. It was still the drawbridge.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And I got a job against my parents' will, and I was so young that I didn't even know what my social security number was. I just wrote, like, a bunch of numbers. So about 6 months into me working, my parents found out that I had a job because the IRS contacted the house and said that somebody in the house was trying to commit tax fraud.
Mm.
That's how they found out I was working. And but I had got a job as a dishwasher and prep cook at that restaurant. And because I wanted to make money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wasn't good at school.
And that's why I was selling weed when I was 13.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I wanted to make money.
See, it's different with kids these days. Like with my son. My son's 16. I'm still trying to get him a job. And it's like, dude, don't you... Like, what do you do? Like, how do you take chicks out on dates and stuff like that? You know what I mean? Like...
That was the main thing.
Where's your chicks getting your weed from?
Yeah, you know, like, how are you gonna get beer? How you like? But it was, I guess, different back then. Like, the crew of guys that I ran with, I was kind of the young one in the group, so I was always trying to kind of catch up with them. They all had full-time jobs. They dropped out of school, etc.
Oh, yeah. Same life I was living. My brothers were older than me. My brother Tyler's 2 years older than me, and he was more into the partying side of things. And then my brother Shane, he's 4 years older than me. So growing up, all my friends were older than me. And I had access to all the stuff the kids in my grade didn't have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I got a job, you know, a good bit before most of the kids that I went to school with.
Yeah.
I started working in a kitchen, and then you start hanging out with kitchen people, and then it's like, who the hell wants to focus on school at this point? So I started doing really, really badly in school, and then I found out, like, some of these guys, they're like, why don't you go to culinary school? I was like, well, how do I do that? And they're like, well, you drop out of regular high school, which I hated. I hated me.
Yeah, I quit school when I was 14.
I hated it. Yeah, it was awful. And so I dropped out my sophomore year, and then I ended up going to the vocational school out in St. Augustine for culinary arts, and I aced it.
Mm-hmm. And so you were right away.
Yeah, well, I mean,
out of the gate.
It was right off the bat, like, because they treated you like adults out there. Like, you can come and go at lunch.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like there wasn't some teacher, like, in your face being a dick to you. Yeah. Like, it was like, if you don't do this, you're not going to pass. Like, this is what you have to do, X, X, and X. It was like a prep list.
And how old are you right now?
38. I'll be 39 in May.
Okay. Yeah, I'm 36. Just turned 36. So you're my brother Tyler's age then. But yeah, same situation with me. I was playing music. I thought that I had the key to the world in my back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Never truly did, but kept going with it anyway. Still playing music to this day. So I always tell my dad, yeah, I quit school 14 and shit, but how many people that quit school to play music are still playing music at nearly 40? You know what I'm saying? Well, still doing their thing.
I'm glad you stuck with it, man, because I love your band. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother.
All the guys in your band, too. You know, you got an awesome group of individuals with you.
Yeah, I love them, too.
Hey. You going to have yourself a Cuban coffee?
Oh. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe some decaf.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah. I do NA beer, so I can drink caffeinated coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I tell myself, anyways.
That's right. Yeah.
So I had the Peroni NA last night, which I've been drinking the Heineken NA.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah. The Heineken 00s are like my go-to. When Shane Platten and I are playing shows behind each other, the restaurants will run out of, like, the places that we play that are like bar grills.
Yeah.
They'll run out of 00s. They'll be like, oh, Shane was here last night.
Yeah, I've been wiping them out up at Caps. But I like the Peronis better because Peroni makes a 00.
Yeah.
That up at last night, dude, we went to Amici's, which we passed on the way here. They have prime rib night on Mondays.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My friend Freddie owns the place. And it was one of the best meals I've had in a while, dude. I mean, the prime rib was out fucking rageous.
Well, we have to put that on our list of places I'm going to visit with Chip.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, we got to hit prime rib Monday nights at Amici's.
I made the mistake when I was trying to get this thing off the ground by telling people, like, my favorite things are, like, hidden gems in the worst parts of town, which is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, limited the amount of things that people are telling me about, because not too many people like to get into that criteria of food, you know, where my brother and I, anywhere we go, NOLA, Memphis, anything, we're going to the worst parts of town to look for the best barbecue.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. ask the locals, you know what I mean? Go to a bar, talk to the bartender, say, where do you go and drink? Where do you go and get
a burger? Exactly, that's it. That's the way to go. That's one thing we've always been good at, is traveling and finding out what the locals like, because that's what you got to do. Every time somebody tells me they went to New Orleans, I mean, I was playing in New Orleans quarterly for a number of years, and I had my buddy Ray, who had a place right off of Canal Street, so I had a key in my back pocket, in my wallet. I still have the key in my china cabinet at the house, but we'd be there all the time playing, and so we're doing all the stuff that the locals are doing, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody, when they tell me they went to New Orleans, I'm like, what'd you do? Oh, we hung out on Bourbon Street. We hung out at the Harrah's Casino. And I'm like, okay, you didn't go to New Orleans. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
so
you didn't make your way to Frenchman Street or anything like that, or Checkpoint Charlie's on Esplanade or anything like that. You didn't see that.
I went there for my honeymoon when I got married the first time. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm scoring a bag of weed when we get down there. She's like, how are you going to do that? Like, we don't know anybody in New Orleans.
It's New Orleans.
I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. So we walked out of our hotel. We're going out right after we got there. There was, the Saints were playing. So it was weird. Like, there was nobody on the street. All the bars were packed. People, you just hear them hooting and hollering. But there was this one bar right down the street from us. And there was a couple of kitchen guys hanging outside. And I walked up and said, hey, man.
Your people.
I just flew in from Jacksonville. Where can I get some reefer?
Yeah.
And they're like, how much you want? I was like, it's like, handed like $40. Walks in the kitchen, comes out, hands me a bag. My wife's looking at me at the time like, what the hell?
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that the Ray, the guy that had the house there that we'd stay at, Ray passed away recently. Actually, when I quit drinking, it was a couple of days after Ray passed away. Because I was already having some mental issues.
Yeah.
And when that happened, I was getting blackout drunk. We had a few shows in a row, and then I went to a straight up blackout drunk day. It was like, no, time to take it away. But with when Ray passed away, it was hard. But he was the first person I smoked weed on the streets with, like openly in front of cops.
Yeah.
Before it was legal, and I'm talking like 2010 in New Orleans. Like, he was, we were walking down the street, cops walking right next to us. He lit up a joint. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's just like, man, you're a NOLA. If you don't act like you're doing something wrong, you're not doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
yeah, it's all about the attitude.
And I was like, well, that's the way to be in life. So I just took that information and went everywhere I could with it.
Well, this was fantastic.
Yeah, Paladar, man.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Gotta check Paladar out.
That's it. Good times.
You want to go get some tattoos?
Tattoos are up next. What do you get? You got any ideas for your tattoo yet?
I think I was going to go with a poison bottle.
I like the poison bottle idea. I was kind of thinking about getting a couple trees, and every year that I'm off alcohol, adding a tree, then eventually there'll be a fucking forest.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, I don't know. That was just one of the ones I was throwing out there. But I also kind of want to get a poison bottle, because you're getting a poison bottle, and I want to get the same thing. All right.
St. Augustine, I guess you could say. And the owner, Travis, is a good buddy of mine. Been getting tattooed from him for, I want to say, almost 20 years. He used to have a spot out here in St. Augustine Beach. And he's a real local guy. A lot of people use him. He's got a very traditional style. If you want like a traditional style Sailor Jerry type tattoo, he's the guy you want to go to.
So when you came down here from Pennsylvania, were you St. Augustine area?
We moved into Ponte Vedra.
Ponte Vedra.
Right by, like I said, right by, you know, Eddie's, the restaurant, which was, it was Eddie's at the time. It's PVO now.
Yeah.
But when we moved down, we got down here in May of 1997, and it was a different world. Ponte Vedra was a different world. Like, all of Palm Valley was not developed yet.
Yeah.
Like, our neighborhood was one of the few developed neighborhoods that were out there. And obviously there was no Nocatee or anything like that. We still had the old Palm Valley Bridge, the drawbridge. And it really did seem like it was like a totally different era.
Yeah, when I started coming down here, my mother moved here in 94. So I would come down here for anywhere from a week to a month out of the summer. And that's when I would come down. And same situation, man. Back then, old St. Augustine Road was two lanes. Palm Valley all the way from US 1 to A1A was fucking two lanes. The drawbridge and all that stuff like that. And then, I've just watched it get fucking mutilated by fucking the growing world and developers, man.
all these beautiful plantation homes that have been just fucking whacked. Fucking now they have 50 fucking $280,000 fucking single family homes on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of those things.
Yeah, so.
I couldn't imagine actually, like, considering this my home, like, being from here, you know, from day one, and then having to watch it just get fucking annihilated by developing, you know, by the developing world, really, you know. But.
Yeah, it's like old J.J. Gray sings about.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Same thing. That's what he's talking about in Lock Lusa.
Yeah.
You know? Another Mickey Mouse, another country club.
Yep. Yeah, you know, even just the time I've spent down here, which, like I said, I'm about to be 39. I've been down here since 97. So
you've been here way longer than you were. Yeah,
exactly. I'm essentially a Florida boy now. But,
yeah. I don't know. Like I said, though, you don't lose that equality in the winter of up north. I mean, you don't lose that character. Yeah, you know
I do remember shoveling snow.
Yeah. if you had to shovel snow and scrape your dad's car and do that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you...
So this restaurant right here, the Purple Olive, another, my friend Pete owns that. Also a really, really cool restaurant. We should check out for dinner one night.
So that's... When are they typically open for dinners and stuff like that?
Yeah, he's...
4 o'clock on kind of situation.
Yeah, he's been trying to go a little bit more lenient schedule on himself because he runs the operation, you know, himself. He's got a real small staff, and he focuses more on quality.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I'm going to swing in here and grab some cash out. I was hoping I was going to hit a Vistar. I forgot there was one out here. And, yeah, man, the cool thing about the St. Augustine food scene is the synergy between all of the restaurant owners and chefs and bartenders, and it's... I didn't really find that in Jacksonville, because I've hopped back and forth quite a bit, but in the last 10 years out here, I've kind of tried to establish myself as, you know, like, St. Augustine, I've been here for a long time, and...
quality.
Yeah, and I've...
Chip is quality, St. Augustine, God damn it.
I've made a lot of friends. Remember, we were out there on the river listening to Sinatra.
Yep.
I said, this is my kind of boat ride
here.
Yeah,
man, I do that shit all the time. I like that. I like going out there and fucking puffing on a big old cigar and listening to fucking Sinatra and Dean Martin and shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, like,
you got all the big lights around you and shit.
I spent a lot of time in New Jersey, Northern Jersey, so, like, that kind of music, that vibe was, like, a real big part of growing up me. Like, it was constantly Sinatra on in the house. And, you know, like, with the drinking thing, it's always, like, my folks weren't alcoholics, but we drank regularly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it was, they would drink a bottle of wine or two a night, you know, while we had dinner. And, like, you know, from a pretty young age, we were allowed to have, you know, like, if I wanted a glass of beer or I wanted a small glass of wine, that was, like, that was just a part of life, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I generally didn't take it up, you know, when I was younger. And then being in the food world, I mean, that's, you know, I got to pair food with wine. I'm doing beer pairings.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. These events that you go to just turn into, you know, basically...
Drink fest.
Drinking marathons.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a glorified alcohol salesman, you know.
Yeah.
We played that block party in Riverside Saturday and Sunday, and all Jackie did on the microphone the whole time was try to sell alcohol, you know.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have somebody like Jackie who's, you know, willing to do that in a funny manner because I don't like talking on the microphone unless I have, like, something small to say, you know, like, just spurt it out. When you got somebody like Jackie will fucking entertain the crowd, like, stand-up comedy hour, you know.
But yeah, now this side of town right here that we're about to drive through, this is probably where I spend the majority of my time hanging out. A lot of cool places in a very small area out here. And like, starting here on the right, you got the Chiba Hut, which I don't know if you've ever been there or been to one of their locations, but all of their shit is weed inspired. It's like all their sandwiches are named like, you know, like the, you know, the Thai sticks, and, you know, the White Widow.
Yeah, so many people have done that before, you know, where, like, even, like, Spliff's Gastropub, my buddy Jason Honeycutt, who owned 1904 and Underbelly and all that shit downtown, he
he has Spliff's Gastropub, same kind of situation. You know, everything's called home, like their vegetarian sandwich is the homegrown, you know, and stuff like that. But and my buddy James, who used to play keyboards in the Bryce Hallister band, he's the one playing keyboards on the Appalachian Delight EP. But he actually started a burrito business one time, and it was called something like Spliff's. It wasn't Spliff's, and but he would have like, let us roll you a pinner and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, that's I've heard a lot of that kind of weed inspired menu situations.
So we just passed Llama, Peruvian food. My friend Marcel's the chef over here. We got, of course, Sarbez coming up on the left hand side.
Yeah.
You know, awesome establishment.
This taco place is good as shit up here too, man.
Oh yeah, Osprey's.
Yeah, Osprey Tacos. Yeah. That's he's a buddy of Justin Elrod. I don't know if you know Justin Elrod.
I think we've met.
That's Rachel's brother, Justin Elrod. He was used to work over there at Opus 39 when they had that place down here and shit. Yeah, he's a great chef himself. He's not doing it anymore because I think it just stressed him out too much. But
Blackfly, awesome place. One of my favorite places in St. Augustine Gas, full service restaurant right here. It's my friends Ben and Lindy that
own
that.
I haven't had that yet at all.
They've been featured on the Food Network multiple times.
That's funny. Like, that has like flown under my radar.
Yeah.
Because like most of the things that you mention, I've at least heard of.
Yeah.
Like that, I haven't even heard of the Gas.
Candlelight, probably my favorite dive bar in town. Great wings. Love the bar in there. But yeah, Gas. Ben and Lindy are very, very close friends of mine, and we ended up meeting because we were doing a. It was called Great Chefs of St. Augustine, which is basically a cooking competition where they pair up a bunch of chefs and, they give you, you got X amount of courses. You guys pick who does which course, and then you compete against another team. So I got paired up with Ben from Gas, Pete from the Purple Olive, that place that we passed down in St. Augustine Beach, Chef Bob from over, he was over at the Reef at the time. I don't know where he's at now. We ended up becoming great friends. You know, it was, it's weird because, you know, like, you always have these preconceived notions, like, you know,
there's going to be some kind of competition.
Yeah, like, we're going to get in
unspoken
here.
Unspoken rule.
And, you know, chefs are hard-headed and we're tough, so, like, you know, I don't see how I'm going to get along with these guys. And then, like, we were hanging out on Sunday night, 8-10 years after those events, and they become some of my best friends. And look at the galleon.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got good pictures of Brant with it the other day when you and I were down here at the Celtic Festival.
Yeah,
he had a blast right there. He was like, "Chip was so cool." I'm like, "Why are you so nervous around him then?" Because he just gets shy, you know.
It's no, that's what kids are.
But no, he was talking about how cool you were and shit. I'm like, he's like, "I want one of those kilts."
Yeah, they were busting my balls the other night because I didn't wear it out to St. Patrick's Day. I was like, man, that thing was really hard for me to squeeze back into. Yeah. I gotta get another one because when I bought that kilt, I was like a 33 waist, and now I'm a 36 or 37.
People get a harsh awakening when they see Ernie wearing a kilt on stage with us because I think they believe that he's going to wear underwear with that kilt.
Yeah.
There is no underwear under that kilt.
Of course not.
Ever, you know?
It'd be a skirt then.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what he says.
Yep.
But, yeah. That's my man Ernie.
Yep.
I remember one time we were playing and he had pulled his boxers off right before we started playing. On stage. Just pulled the boxers off. And I'm like, dude, I can already smell your undercarriage. You know? Like, what the fuck? Why didn't you just take those things off a long time ago if you're going to take them off, you know? That for the 1 hour that I've got to share with you, you're going to take your fucking underwear off? It
smells like Velveeta and conch fruit. I appreciate that.
Yeah, this day is shaping up to be everything I hoped it would be. Paladar was awesome, man. I really liked that place.
Yeah, that was a good way to start it.
I think that's just, it's cool because you can go there, you pretty much say, I want this, I want that, I want this and that.
Yeah, and then they got that whole list of sandwiches and stuff you can get too. I've had a Cuban from there before and it was outstanding.
Yeah, I saw the Cubans, and I'm kind of pissed off that I didn't grab one just to try it.
There's always next time.
Yeah, there's always next time.
That guy parked like a real asshole.
These guys all parked like real assholes. I don't think they realize how close they, I mean, how far that curb is away. How do you feel about brunch? Do you feel the same way Anthony Bourdain does, as in, like, they're always looking for somebody to cook brunch, so it's just like the lower totem pole situation? Or?
The thing is with brunch is, brunch is generally on Sundays.
Yeah.
And so you get your ass kicked on Saturday night, and then somebody's got to come in and do brunch the next morning.
And so it's anybody like, willing to take that job is gold.
So, yeah, I mean, it's normally people that are looking for more hours, or it's somebody who's forced to do it.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
And a lot of times the person who's forced to do it is the person who's absolutely obligated to, which is the chef.
Yeah.
So, like, I've had to do brunches before to where it is just like, you know, usually, you know, you get a little tuned up on Saturday night after the shift, and then you got to be right back in there the next morning to do a fucking omelet station.
In many interviews, I've heard Anthony Bourdain actually say that, like, if I smell fucking French toast, it just smells like defeat to me. It's like, he's like, it's not, there's no success in brunch to me. He's like, that's the job that I always knew I could have when I was fucking up doing the shit I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know? Because nobody wants to take that shit. Everybody's always looking for somebody to do brunch.
And generally speaking, now this isn't always true.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, most establishments will not start doing a brunch randomly unless they're having an issue getting people in the door. Because what generally comes with brunch is things like bottomless mimosas or sangrias or,
where you gotta just give a bunch of free shit away.
Yeah, all you could eat pancakes or crepes or some shit like that. So there's definitely a market for it.
I have a problem. I cannot eat anything with coffee unless it is like a dessert style thing or breakfast. I can eat sausage, eggs, and all that shit, you know, with coffee. But other than that, I don't like to eat and fuck with my coffee. You know what I'm saying? So to me, like, when I hear people like chefs that just absolutely can't even stand the smell of fucking French toast and shit because of that, I'm just all like, man, that would be so hard on me because I love that shit so much, you know? Like, I'm a diner guy. I love fucking diners. I love Waffle House. You could give me you could literally serve me up the shittiest plate of food from Waffle House and I'm going to be happy as fuck.
I gotta say, you know, like, when I was, like I said, I was doing that community service over at the VFW, and I was working, I was getting there at 6 a.m. on Sundays to do their breakfast, and I have not done that but a handful of times in my entire career as a chef. I've been cooking since the 90s, and so it was humbling, you know, like, they're getting an omelet for $3.95 because it's a VFW post. But I'm making this shit from scratch. I don't know this for a fact, but I imagine that I am probably on the higher end of what chefs in St. Augustine get paid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty well paid chef. So they've got one of the most highest paid chefs in St. Augustine making $4 omelets. For a bunch of veg, which was cool.
Yeah.
But it was very humbling at the same time because people don't realize, like, those Waffle House guys, they're doing all that shit off calls. They don't have the cool ticket system. They got some guy going up there, all right, we got four eggs scrambled, jambled, and smothered, and covered, and brothered.
Charlene and Mike, when we were there after our Southern Grill show on Friday, because we played three outdoor shows this weekend in fucking piling hell. So after Southern Grill, John and I went over to, we tried to go to Riverside to watch a hardcore show because we wanted to watch some people swinging fists and having fun. And that didn't work out because by the time we got there, the hardcore show was over. So
Was that the one that got busted up by the cops?
I don't think so. I think it was just there was nobody there, and they fucking probably were like, fuck this. But so we go on to Waffle House. It's 11:30, 12 o'clock by this time, and Charlene and Mike are the only two employees in there. Every table's full of fucking people, and I'm talking like full families, not just like two guys wanting fucking Waffle House, like families of people in there. And Charlene's calling this shit out. And Mike's
our next stop is Stay True Tattoo on King Street in St. Augustine, Florida, as well. Our buddy Travis, Chip's buddy Travis, my new buddy Travis, hooked us up with our matching girlfriend tattoos. And, yeah, it was good conversation. We probably had 2 hours of conversation from the tattoo shop alone. And we had to cut most of it out because you don't want to hear it. One of my problems when I'm comfortable with people is I like to say the F word in every sentence. If you haven't noticed yet, I say it probably 100 times in the hour that we got of good quality footage. But I will work on that in the future, I swear. Here's us at the tattoo shop with Travis. Stay True Tattoo off of King Street.
And when did I first meet you? You opened up for Whitey Morgan?
Yeah, Whitey Morgan, that was the first sold out show at 1904 after COVID. Was us opening for Whitey Morgan. He was acoustic. That was the night I met him. Right?
I think so, yeah. It was just you and John.
Just me and John, yeah. Yep. I was tripping on mushrooms.
Nice.
All right, well, let's check that out.
We got a mirror over here?
Yeah, up on that wall to the right. A whole bunch of them.
Yeah, it's good. You like it right there?
Looks groovy, man.
I'm going to have him do more around it then.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm telling you, it's the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
You're a fucking musician. I'm assuming you should be covered by now.
Yeah, I got this when I was 14 with a prison gun. That's with a prison gun when I was 14.
Hey, that held up pretty well for that.
Yeah,
well, the guy that did it was in prison for a lot of years. So.
You can just hang out, take a seat if you want.
My old lady would be like, I thought you guys were just getting a little tattoo. Now I gotta get a whole fucking arm piece because of shit. Can't go nowhere with this motherfucker.
That's a little guy.
How long you been doing this?
This year is my 21st year.
Wow, your tattoo career can start drinking now.
I know. Fucking November.
Legally.
November. Well, the fucked up part is, in November, my daughter can legally drink and my career can legally drink.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have a 9-year-old boy, a 5-year-old girl, and a 1-year-old girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'd be chasing some fucking wildlings around, buddy.
Yeah, man, I've done that. Got a 17-year-old son who'll be 18 in June, and then my daughter's 20. She'll be 21 on October 30th. So.
Chip's got kids all over the United States. He only talks about 2 of them. But.
God, I hope not. He's not ruling it out.
The rest of them yet.
Yeah. I know I only have the 2 because I still know all the women I've ever slept with.
Still
normal. No, before my vasectomy.
Oh, yeah.
And then the ones after my vasectomy,
just write those ones off.
Yeah, that's all good.
Hey, man, we can get a vasectomy together. I heard they give a deal on group
two
rates.
2 for 1?
Yeah.
Do they really?
It's not vasectomy, it's vasectomy us.
A vasectomy us? Let's do it. I thought you were serious about that. I was like, me, you, and my drummer Brent can go do it.
Well, that was
a play on his character, you know?
Have you ever seen that video? Like, the dangerous secret of Gordon Ramsay, or the worst secret about Gordon Ramsay, and it just had all of these like chefs and all these other people that have worked with him. Like, he's the nicest.
You want to know a fucked up story about Gordon Ramsay?
He's like, I got something for you.
So, do you guys know who Marco Pierre White is? MPW. Well, anyways, Marco Pierre.
French chef or something.
So he was the first guy that was known for that talking shit. So Gordon Ramsay worked for him. This is how Gordon Ramsay kind of made a name for himself, was because he was working for Marco Pierre White.
Okay.
So to get into Marco Pierre White's restaurant, he owned this very old school French style restaurant. I think it was in New York or London. It was one of those big cities. And I think it was New York. So Gordon Ramsay admitted to this in his book that Marco Pierre White made him fucking cry in his kitchen.
Yeah.
He was such a dick. And so one day, they were so old school that their reservation ledger was a handwritten ledger that had years worth of reservations in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if something was to happen to this book, you're talking about this is a reservation-only restaurant.
Yeah.
That runs off of this one handwritten ledger.
Yeah.
That people are paying uber fucking money to get their names on this book.
So
Gordon Ramsay said he paid a motorcycle guy, like a biker, to run in there with a motorcycle helmet on and steal the fucking book. This is after, like, Gordon Ramsay quit there, like, he just quit, he was like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And he had him do that. Fucked him up. Fucked Mark Pierre White's ass up after that. But yeah, and he wrote about it in this book.
Oh, he admits you.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Now, Mark Pierre White, you'll see him, like, he's one of those guys that he doesn't do, like, the acting stuff like Gordon Ramsay does.
Nah.
Like, you see him being a dick in his kitchen.
He's a dick in his kitchen.
He's not generally just a dick. It's like when somebody really fucks up, he crawls up their ass. But, like, you see them, he doesn't have people call him chef. Like, in his restaurant, people call him Marco.
Okay.
Which is, like, that's something, like, with me. When people come into the kitchen and start, hey, chef this, I'm like, whoa, dude, please. Yeah. Like, My name's not chef. I don't do that. Like, I understand what you're doing. You watch the bear.
Yeah. You watch the bear. That's what got you. That was my thing.
My one regular / friend, Wayne. I've almost done a full bodysuit on him.
Yeah.
And he goes, "This is the most abusive relationship I've ever been in."
That's a good one.
It's like, I give you money, you hurt me, this is bullshit.
And it's funny too, man, because like the spots where it does hurt, you know, because some shit doesn't, you know,
yeah.
You know, like this isn't bad, but like this spot right here, for some fucking reason, was like outrageously painful.
Yeah.
All these little spot on the side of my hand.
Well, hands have nerve endings and stuff.
Yeah.
That you gotta go through.
And
I always tell people the spots that hurt more are the real important spots. Like, you fucking hurt your hand, you can't fucking, like, back, like, let's say 200 years ago, you might die if you break your hand.
Yeah.
Because you can't do what you need to do to survive. Yeah. If you injure right here, your body's kind of like, fuck it.
Yeah, we gotta get through this. We don't have time for bullshit.
Like, with my back, kidneys, man, were fucking outrageous.
Yeah, again, important.
Stomach, that one hurt a little bit. Fucking.
That's what my brother has, a big-ass fucking leprechaun that's smoking a pot of gold in his whole stomach, man. And he said, yeah, that was the most painful one that he got.
But I got Hannibal Lecter and Frankenstein on my kidneys, and my tattoo artist, when he... Well, this is one of my guys that he moved off to San Diego years ago, but he kind of started doing tattoos on me.
I remember that.
And
he's like, I had to fix them all.
he actually was a fucking...
Pretty good?
Yeah.
He was a comic book artist.
Oh, yeah.
And he translates really fucking well.
Yeah, especially because you have to do inking very well
and
for that shit.
He started doing tattoos.
Contrast.
Yeah.
I think he had done 3 tattoos. He was like, hey, man, you come out to Mayport and let me put Frankenstein on you. And I was like, all right.
Which is ballsy for a big fucking tattoo.
And I have to say, that's still, to this day, one of my favorite tattoos that I have.
That's cool.
That one hurt like hell. That one's on my kidney. But when he did Hannibal Lecter... And he went and touched it up because there's a lot of gray, there's a lot of shading and stuff. The third time that he touched the needle down, this was, you know, spread out over 6 months or something like that. It was like, holy fucking shit, dude. He's like, dude, you can't jack around like that. I was like, I'm sorry, man. That was my body. That hurt like hell.
In my mind, I was still
tough.
And it really works like that, dude. Like, you can fucking be tattooing somebody and they're going... I'm sorry, I'm moving. You're not moving.
You might think you are, but you're not.
Well, I remember when I first started tattooing.
And then there's some that you're like, God, fuck this shit still, motherfucker.
That's awesome. Like, I got this when I was 14 with a prison gun from my brother's cousin, my adopted brother's cousin, that was fresh out of prison. And he was using the old fucking motor with the ink and the guitar string going through it. And, yeah, I mean, it didn't... Yeah, I don't remember it hurting bad. I was drunk as fuck when it happened. So
then you were 14.
And I was 14.
I mean, fucking rubber.
But I didn't even feel that really either. But that's probably because you have the tattoo artist experience.
He's got that touch.
Yeah.
That's why I let him jack me off.
Yeah, exactly.
Soft fucking touch, man. I'm like,
wearing those nitrile gloves all the time, keeping it nice and soft.
Oh, raw. We don't do any fucking. There's no safe sex.
No gloves, man.
It's all raw, man.
calluses.
I know, whenever I'm doing like a, because I'm always watching movies, Rogan Leah's back, and whenever I have like, projects where I'm building shit, remodeling shit, stuff like that, she's like, man, fucking, quit using your hands. Just stick to tattooing. Your hands are way softer when you're not fucking building shit. Oh, you're the one making me build shit. Yeah, I'm doing this for you.
Yeah.
I didn't know you did back rubs too, man.
Yeah.
I do.
That's what this table's for.
The only rule is you have to be topless. Same rule I have with my wife.
All right, hold on.
Tattoos are always fun. The next stop we make is at Tacos My Blessing. Tacos My Blessing was absolutely delicious. Chip just knows his stuff. He knows where to go. I'm happy to know people that know where to go. We had a pambazo sandwich at Tacos My Blessing. I'm not used to having sandwiches when I'm eating that kind of food, but that was the most delicious sandwich I could have possibly had, and I was very, very happy to get to experience it. Tacos My Blessing is at 218 West King Street. It's behind, I believe, Bog Brewing Company, so make sure that you go check it out. It's a food truck that has a permanent residence behind Bog Brewing Company on 218 West King Street. Yeah, do it up, enjoy it. If you haven't noticed, my voice is pretty shot. We've been dealing with a lot of pollen, and I've played 4 outdoor shows in the last week. Last night we had just an epic show at Cafe Da Vinci in DeLand, Florida. It was a packed house, or packed courtyard anyways. And the boys were firing on all cylinders. I wanted to kiss them all on the mouth at the end of it, but this isn't about the band. This is about Tacos My Blessing. So we're moving on to Tacos My Blessing and continuing our interview with Chip Richard. Yeah, it was a great time with my buddy, and I'm looking forward to doing many of these podcasts in the future. Hope you're enjoying it. Here's Tacos My Blessing.
How long have you been coming to this place?
So they have been around St. Augustine a while. So I want to say maybe 4 years ago you started seeing them kind of pop up. This is somewhat new, like within, I want to say, maybe the last year and a half.
Looks like people already know about it.
Yeah, so. But, you know, when this place is rocking, sometimes I'll have live music in here, somebody just, you know, strumming a guitar or whatever. And, you know, they have really good beer. You know, I know neither of us drink it.
We need some of these breweries to get us a really good NA beer, man. That's yeah. I told Doug at Doggos, I'm like, dude, just make me a hops water, man.
Yeah.
And he's all like, I'll get you NA beer and have it here for you.
Yeah.
One place or nothing. What's wrong
with you? Yeah, like I said, with this, you know, it's like you go to a taco place to order a sandwich, but, you know, you got potatoes and chorizo on this bad boy, and they, like I was saying, they take the bun and dip it in the chorizo juice.
Yeah, I can see that.
Cook it off on the flat top.
It looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is good. But this place has a really good reputation in town.
Oh, it's beautiful, Chip. It's beautiful, Chip.
It's beautiful, man.
It's beautiful. Well, I really appreciate you for bringing me along for this adventure.
This was a good time.
Hell yeah. Wow, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's messy. He's a messy boy.
That is the truth. That is the truth right there.
It's different, you know?
What's this called again?
Pambazo.
Pambazo. Yeah, that's what people need to get when they come here with that pambazo. Man,
like I said,
I'll probably only be able to put half of this down right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, probably me too. We did have kind of a somewhat large breakfast.
You know?
Yeah, when I work, I eat one meal a day.
Yeah, that's typically, I like to, when I do my push-ups in the morning, I like to eat something directly. Typically, I don't eat again until Rachel. Rachel is always making fucking gourmet food at the house. She should have been a cook herself.
That's a beautiful thing, man.
Well, it's a good thing about a Southern. Like, I always make that joke about, like, you know, you got to get you a Southern woman because, like, she fries chicken, like, to where it's still white and juicy in the middle, you know? It's, like, just perfect, you know? In a skillet. Makes her cornbread in a skillet, you know? All that good stuff.
I've never been in a relationship to where I wasn't doing the majority of the cooking, you know, and it's kind of a shame, but at the same time, like, I feel like people expect me to, like, take the reins, you know, like people are always like, well, you know, they hit me with that, you know, I'm always nervous to cook for a chef, or I always want it. It's like, can make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I'm happy with it because I don't have to make it.
Rachel's like, that's what her and her brother do. As like a family thing when they're together. We don't see much of him because he lives in Charleston. But when he's around, dude, he'll be making breakfast and he'll be like, what do you want your eggs? And I'll just fuck with him and be like, I just want my eggs poached, you know? And then he'll be like, whip up some poached eggs, man, and white vinegar and shit. Fucking. And just like,
yep, that's for sure.
You know? And stuff I don't know, but he's cooking for 8 or 9 people in the family and just whipping shit out just to order, like he's working in his kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, Rachel loves getting her hands dirty with him in that kind of situation, which to me, like I said before earlier, that's too much pressure for me, man. Like, I mean, there's one thing, when you fuck up in music, you fuck up, people forget about it and you move on. Food, once it's fucked, it's kind of fucked.
Well,
You know? The
thing in the kitchen is, you know, fuck it up. And make it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make sure you don't do it again. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the thing. It's everything's fixable.
Don't make the same mistake twice, kind of thing.
Yeah. You're not dealing like when you're doing carpentry. You know, you fuck up a cut. Now you just fucked up a, you know, $60 board or whatever. Mm-hmm. $200 piece of wood or. With food, it's, you know, might lose a couple bucks on it, but so last week up at the restaurant, we broke the record. We made $73,000 in one day. It's a new record, new daily record. Did $318,000 for the week.
You did my yearly income in one day.
It's wild, man. You know, it's like, like I said, I hang out with a lot of other restaurant people.
Mm-hmm. They're not touching those numbers.
Well, obviously, my restaurant is massive.
Yeah.
You know, we got 500 some odd seats. I got a kitchen staff of 50 people, more sometimes. So, yeah, we're doing massive numbers, but it also a lot.
There's a huge overhead.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and people really don't, they can't wrap their heads. It's like, you guys are so expensive. It's like, you should see what we're paying for fish.
Yeah.
I get in 4, 5, 6 shipments of seafood a week.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking $50,000, $60,000, more than that.
See, but I don't recommend any, when people ask me what seafood places to go to and such, I don't recommend anything that's cheap. I don't have a cheap place to recommend. Like, literally, the only two places I recommend are Cats and Catch 27. And both places are, you know, moderately expensive, because they have to be.
Seafood is so fucking expensive right now.
Yeah.
And
everything is.
If you want good seafood, that's what you got to do. You got to pay for it.
Yeah, and if they're buying the best of the quality seafood, they're buying the best quality liquors, they're buying the best quality, got paid the best quality employees, you know what I'm saying?
So
you're going to pay for quality at that point.
Bringing in these oysters from Washington. Charging people $350 a piece for them. I can't control that, you know what I mean? Like, if we're paying $250 a piece for them, we got to make some money off of that. And you're also, where the fuck else are you going to get a Washington oyster that was harvested this week?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's why you're paying so much.
Freshly shucked. And I have all the paperwork. If anybody wants to see, I'll show you exactly, you know, like, all those oyster tags and seafood tags are all legal documents. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'll take pictures of it. I'll show it to you. I don't give a shit.
I thought that was the coolest thing, though. When you guys did that video and you walked everybody through the damn kitchen like that, and you guys did it so professional. You know, you could tell that you put the money into making sure it was all right.
Yeah. I mean, this food truck here is a perfect example of, like, you know, if
doesn't have to be fancy. They're serving food out of to-go boxes. Yeah. And they've got people here every single day.
That was absolutely delicious, too.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, tacos, my blessing. Taste of heaven.
Yep. And, you know, just same thing. Mom and pop kind of operation. They just they make good quality stuff. Yeah. That's all that's it is. That's what it takes.
I love it, Dean. Well, I appreciate the hell out of you for bringing me out here today, man. I love you.
Love you too, man. Yeah, it was awesome.
So what was that? Paladar and Tacos My Blessing. Two great St. Augustine establishments.
Yeah.
Do it up.
Stay true tattoo.
Stay true tattoo, our buddy Travis. Yeah.